Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. K at the end of the day. Us, two kids, and a cat. I am Michelle, the wife, and this is...
Hello, this is Alex.
Mr. K. Having a foreign partner.
1, 2, 3, 4, test.
The very everyday challenges.
Find us on freiesradio.at.
Catch us every third Friday at 6 p.m. and the repeat show on Saturday at 11.
Hello and welcome to our show, Mr. and Mrs. K, to our today's episode, which is a bit of a special one because we tell you from our trip to Hungary.
We pretty much took off on Wednesday because as part of the radio station, a local community station in Budapest in Hungary, they were hosting a workshop and invited presenters from Freies Radio Salzkammergut to come and join Civil Radio in a workshop.
Yeah, I think it's a part of the Kulturhauptstadt initiative even. And it was quite interesting that we had the chance to take part of this workshop.
Very much.
And then decided we should go as a whole family. So we traveled with the car while others took the train. And it's quite surprising that in less than 5 hours you can be in Budapest. It was a very smooth commute, I would say.
Yeah, really seamless with kids.
Even with two kids in the back. But we took the evening time. Yeah, we were really lucky to get to know Budapest this weekend.
In my head, I had a picture of a city that was quite built up and was just dense to be in.
Okay.
Like a concrete jungle, in a way.
Yeah.
You know, I knew the architecture would be beautiful.
What a surprise, really, like a positive surprise.
I had an average sort of high-rise city in my mind. Obviously not as vertical as like a Dubai in terms of city. I knew it would be sort of a European... The buildings would be obviously, you know, historic in structure. Yeah. But it surprised me... for the better. Budapest is absolutely beautiful.
Absolutely, I agree. And I was so surprised how green it is. It's like a green lung. I couldn't say it any different, even from the highway now. We didn't see it when we came in because it was nighttime. But then throughout the day and then even the outskirts of the city when we left, everything is so green. They have so much forest. It's actually really, really, yeah, it surprised me. And that the buildings are not very tall and like more or less this 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 stories.
Yeah.
Some ones a little bit higher, some living blocks, but overall it's... And what was amazing for me was this wide streets. It was so open and it was like, I don't know, completely different to Vienna in a way, I would say.
How?
Well, I don't know. The main roads in Vienna, they are more narrow and everything happens at once. Like there's a tram and the cars going on the tram rails some way. And it felt like in Hungary, there's so much space.
Yeah.
Everywhere have a cycling track.
Yeah. I must be honest, the walkability of the city, and by that I mean there's that constant, as you say, that constant... you know, physical commute. Mm. You can see bicycles, skateboards,
scooters, yeah.
And they're on the go all the time here, parallel to the onstream and the mainstream traffic that goes. Public transportation works. It's clean. It's just so... I feel like the nature's almost blended into...
Yeah.
Into the open into the spaces in this, like in the heart of the city.
Yeah.
There are green spaces and trees
everywhere.
And shady, lovely, shady, resty, yeah. restful spaces.
I think that there's our cities stress. Are even hotter in summer.
Yeah, you feel nice and cool by the, because of all the shady spots in the city.
Yeah, and because of so many trees.
Yeah, and there's this. There's just a feeling of... I mean, normally in the cities, you kind of feel all stressed out and there's a lot of noise and there's a lot of... There's a lot of energy, you know. Mm. Whereas I felt in Budapest, I felt super relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Although you could feel the energy still, because there's a lot of people on the move. I'm not sure if there was a holiday. I think they had normal working days.
Yeah, everybody
Friday,
was about
on Thursday
their
and Friday. But I didn't even find traffic so bad, I must say. And still it was like... vibrating in a way, but also
vibrant.
And I also like that somehow the Danube plays such a big role in the city, like splitting it more or less in half in Buda and Pest.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That was very interesting. And also the bridges combining those two parts and the Danube itself. I mean, we had one chance where we strolled a little bit along the river with very big boats and not live music, but music and fantastic restaurants there just next to the river. And yeah, just fantastic, I must say.
Yeah, and if you weren't along the river at those restaurants with, as you say, you know, live music and the most delicious cuisine we had too, then you could actually be on one of these massive luxury cruise liners, I'd say, that go up and down the river, or just are docked along the sides. But they're obviously, you know, a couple of stars that you're going to get at those restaurants. So, I mean, I think there's just something for everybody. And if I look at the parks, the green spaces, we as a family, we packed scooters for the kids.
Yeah.
And they just went vroom, vroom, round and round and up and down. The kids had
a blast. Absolutely blast. And what they do with these parks, I mean, it's... Yeah, almost unbelievable for the Austrian taxpayer. Why don't we have such fantastic parks? Because
I'm sure you
they
do.
Have, yeah, but not like that, you know. They have so many incorporated playgrounds, and you said like there's hidden away the center of music, or and then it just appears because this major park there in on the Pest side is really, really big. And there's a around the park, it starts with the zoo, and then there's many museums and other institutions around and in the park, apparently.
Yeah, we also got a chance to, the kids especially, but the where you were talking about the music museum.
Mm.
It is quite camouflaged,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's made, the actual project was sold as such, that it was this camouflaged space. So as you sort of head towards it through mm-hmm. through massive green spaces and mm-hmm. through the dense city, through the city walk, you head towards this museum, music museum, and then all of a sudden it just sort of appears with this camouflaged mm-hmm. roof
yeah.
and trees growing right through this camouflaged roof, and a major sort of arena, if you like, where musicians get come together and put on big concerts,
shows,
you know.
And stuff.
And we were lucky to be walking by, and there was a street, I don't know, clown
for primary school kids, I would say.
Yeah.
I'm speaking in Hungarian, so it must have been a local thing.
Our first Hungarian show, the kids loved it.
It was quite funny. But also what was very interesting and how they incorporated, again, the education about sounds. Like, they had a few installments outside where the kids could make noise or, like, sounds, actually, with, like kind of big instruments. They had these rubber-looking bags on the floor, and they, if you jump on them, they would make a whistle
squeak.
Or a squeak, yeah. and like... fixed installed metal drums, and really, really cool. It's mind-blowing, actually, how they put this in public spaces and how the government is realizing such projects. It's really, really great.
Yeah, the maintenance and the condition of things is also quite something to comment
outstanding.
On. Yeah.
Outstanding.
I would put that word in there too.
And you had the first day of the workshop, you cruised around then with Civil Radio. Yeah, you basically started a kind of a get to know each other. I think beforehand you met them once also in Bad Ischl, and this was more or less the kickoff of this like cooperation in doing something together. Yeah, it was quite some people from both sides. You hit the public transport and you had a tour through the city with civil radio.
Yeah, so it was a lovely group from Austria and a lovely group of Hungarians as well, head up by, of course, Akos. And what I found particularly interesting was, as you say, the sightseeing that we did as a group. We went through and we saw these beautiful spaces and we saw the lovely architecture. But what I found particularly interesting was some of the history that Akos spoke about. You know, I had no idea that the Hungarians created such amazing architecture post the separation, if you like, between Austria and Hungary.
After the monarchy, when the monarchy fell. Basically.
Yeah. Oh. And so they created some of these iconic buildings to sort of show Austria that we can also build great things. You know, we can also do great things, which I found particularly interesting.
Well, some people would say that they made Budapest after Vienna, more or less, but it was, I think, really to impress the Austrians as well.
Yeah,
like, we can do it on our own as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, even today, I think the relationship between our two countries sharing such a history, and I'm really, by far, I have not much clue about what really went down and how their history, how it was all together. So definitely keen to learn more about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It sort of has sparked an interest to know more, definitely.
Yeah,
and another thing that comes to mind was you mentioned public transport. Akos also shared that, you know, after the first subway was built in the UK, the first underground railway was built. The first one in Europe was built in Hungary, in Budapest.
Amazing.
So we had a chance to travel by tube, by underground, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a fascinating experience, I must say. There were a lot of tourist groups, a lot of touristy groups out and about, but you never for any moment felt overrun by tourists. You never felt overrun by anybody, really.
Well, I really felt like home in a way, because even like the locals, I think in the park we were surrounded by many locals. It's very family orientated.
Yeah.
And you feel like really welcome in a way. I mean, it's not like that everyone greets you from far, but you know what I mean. Everyone somehow is relaxed and smiling and having a good time. I mean, the weather played also a fantastic role. We had sunshine and it was warm. Not too cold.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. Like, people would stand back, hold the door open for you, you know, and just generally kind.
Generally kind. That's what it is.
Definitely.
I think in Vienna, sometimes you feel like, where the hell I'm here now?
Yeah, it can be.
Or people
kind
of look the other way when they see you or whatever. You know, like, there's some kind of the grumpiness in the Austrians, especially the Vienna people, in a way.
Yeah, I think just culturally somewhat different, but, you know.
Yeah, they're proud of their grumpiness, I think you.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, and then you also went through to a park, I think.
Yeah, we had a lovely local, we did quite a few museums. There was a sensational, was it the Museum of Ethnicity? We went to a particular museum, I think it's the Museum of Ethnicity. Anyway, it had a concave roof that you can walk right up onto the roof. You can walk right up to the top, and it's all green, of course, with green and shrubs and trees and so on. And it's a lovely spot on each side, left and right. You can take photos there. But we had the chance to have some local cuisine in this building, and it was delicious.
Yeah, the food in general, it was really nice.
It's good. We did a lot of mileage. We walked and we walked and
so
we
everyone
talked.
Was tired at the end.
Yeah.
Just to explain, we took turns. We said, okay, I did the first day while you were at the workshop with the kids. And we looked at the zoo, which is, you know, according to Google, was one of the first things that popped up, and that was quite close by where you were then. And that was also a great experience. It's very simple access. It's wide walkways. We even had a little push wagon. I set the kids in after a while. And it was well done, I think. It's actually big. And we've definitely spent a few hours in there looking at everything. And they have little houses you go into or little buildings, even like a big mountain, and then inside is kind of a museum.
What I wanted to say was inside the Museum of Ethnicity, I forgot, mm-hmm. the one with the concave roof, mm-hmm. inside there, they actually had a miniature structure mm-hmm. of the entire city. So okay. you could see Buda and then divided by, you know, the Danube River.
Okay.
And you could see Pest on the other side. And in there, we had a chance to see the zoo as well.
Yeah.
So from my understanding was within the zoo, there were different areas. So there was an African area and there yep. was a... And the construction...
The Asian...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The buildings and the construction and that you would do the architecture of the sites.
They tried to incorporate that. Yeah, the Indian section would have really the Indian vibe, and the elephant thing was, I think, anyway, the African part. Of course, you know, I think it's a long time around, the zoo. But you couldn't, I mean, there were really a lot of people, but it's so big that you couldn't really feel that. And it was just interesting. I mean, I saw bathing elephants for the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, they had a big pool to play with. And we saw a tiger, and we saw a rhino even, and giraffes, and then penguins, and a sea lion. And yeah, it was great for the kids, and it was a nice outdoorsy time we had. And the time went fast. Yeah.
The second day you went into the studio, and I stayed back with
yes.
the kids.
So we went to the studio and I catched up with everyone. I met them briefly together with the kids with you the first day. And then, yeah, we sort of put together an interview and everyone had some recordings like you from the metro station. And it was really, for me, it was then really interesting to get to know them a bit better. And we had some great discussions and talks about everything. And I'm looking forward to maybe with one or two of the other of the radio makers there, of the show makers, to maybe we start a little project on the side, you know, to talk about this intercultural relationship between Austria and Hungary, but also what are their shows like and what they going on air with, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the civil radio itself is met by a number of challenges. And it is challenged by the fact that, you know, freedom of speech is a very different thing to what we have, or what we know here in Austria. We have the liberty to speak openly and to have the opportunity to share our thoughts quite freely, you know. And I think that's something that is a challenge for the folks in Budapest, the folks in Hungary,
mm-hmm.
they are governed very much so by what can be shared and what cannot be shared.
Yeah, it's not so easy for them. How, I mean, even like government funding and getting support from the government for something like a free radio station. He explained to us also that some of them, they have some pirate radio stations, I believe, who became quite famous. And as you said, you know, it's not easy for them to just produce content that's not in line with the government.
Yeah, there's a lot of legal restriction that they find themselves in.
So they go international to find a voice. And that's where our radio station, Freies Radio Salzkammergut, comes into play. That's how...
Yeah, I think for the teams at Civil Radio, it's especially important that they collaborate internationally, mm-hmm. as you said. It's really important for them. And I spoke personally with the station manager as well. The exchange, you know, of information and the opportunity to air thoughts outside of Hungary or to make the situation known is important for them.
Yeah, I think in general, I think it's important to provide a bit of a platform or a wider... listenership to spread the word a bit.
Yeah.
Overall, I must say, it was really a fantastic experience. Definitely more to see, but I think we both were like, I think this city will see us again.
I definitely say so too. It's definitely not the last time we'll see Budapest.
Yeah,
hopefully not.
It was actually really great. Yeah? And then within 4 or 5 hours, you're there. Next time, maybe we try the train, I don't know.
Sure.
But the car was really easy going. We were lucky with the traffic. Everything well maintained, fantastic places to stay.
And a pleasure to have children. I mean, to have your kids there, exactly. It was an absolute pleasure to take the kids. Absolutely. There's so much to do.
For a long weekend, definitely a recommendation.
Yeah, indoors, outdoors, and I think it's affordable.
Yeah, overall, is not too much difference, but yeah, I mean, it's okay. I think we didn't overshoot our budget. And then on the way home, Saturday, we arrived back in the evening. So we had Mother's Day to come, which then was a bit slower than usual. Everyone was a bit more tired than usual, I would say. But we still managed to put up a nice breakfast. Our kids managed to put up a nice breakfast for Mama and cooked some French toast and got some flowers from the garden.
That was beautiful. And then they came with their gorgeous little things that they make at kindergarten.
Yeah.
It's just a very special day. So thank you for that.
And Jamie knows it by heart. He can say his poems by like in and out. And he's very proud of that too, I think. And yeah, so that was also a gorgeous day. And what was also lined up for us was an old friend came to visit. That was a bit short notice then, that he also came to our house. But what a pleasure to see Kevin from Nigeria again, from Lagos to be exact. He's one of my former work colleagues. And about 3 years ago, you went hiking with him.
Oh man.
The Sonnstein.
The day he nearly died was with me.
The day you both nearly died, I would say.
Yeah.
So they actually got completely lost on the Sonnstein. And so it was interesting. It was funny actually to share those old stories and memories again. And yeah, he's on the way through to going to a big exhibition in Munich. And of course, we had to catch up. And so they came late in the afternoon to our house, him and Tayo, a friend of his, a working colleague of his. And what a pleasure to have him here for a couple of hours and chat a bit about life and about the troubles Nigeria has and about the troubles Austria has and how those troubles are not comparable.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing the same thing I shared with Andy, we don't have electricity in South Africa, and in Budapest they're not allowed to speak freely. So one has a challenge and the other doesn't, but a different kind of a challenge.
Yeah, and Kevin was even saying, like, even South Africa and Nigeria are totally different. Maybe I can say a little bit because I've been once in Lagos, but only for a couple of days. At that time when Kevin and I worked for the same company. Yeah, yesterday I also felt like we could actually talk for hours about this and get to find or go to the root of our differences in a way. And it's quite interesting what we would discover and what we already discovered. There's huge cultural differences and economical differences and whatsoever. Kevin is doing well for himself and he runs a little company with about, 10, 20 employees, working closely with the Austrians, working closely with Europeans in general, and trying to make a living and a difference. For that, I salute him until we meet again,
Yeah.
Okay, so that was our special episode on Budapest. What a lovely trip.
If you had to rate Budapest, friendliness out of 10?
Well, I think we had two less experience to really engage with. I mean, except the civil radio, of course, 10 out of 10. But to engage with, like, random people. I must say our landlord who rented us the apartment, I never met in person, but we chatted and it was also, again, very friendly, very helpful, well-priced, very supportive. 10 out of 10, I would say.
Facilities out of 10?
Facilities, I would not give the full points. I would say 7 or 8. But that's because it's a bit different and it's because it's all a bit older and run down. But that has its charm,
Food?
I think we had too much junk food. Pizza, because that's what was available in the parks and stuff. I think I leave that out and not rate it because I never really had it.
You never had the chance to have local food?
No, not really.
I did, and I saw it, and it was good. And I tasted it, and it was really good.
What number would you give?
There was one slight misunderstanding, so I would give it a 9 out of 10.
They are growing. Like, it's a little bit like initially we were also not really prepared for English menus, and you know, I think they're starting in Budapest more and more. And then
yeah, somebody did mention that the very nature of, you know, the language cuts them off. Mm. I think it was another presenter, a Hungarian presenter, and he was sharing that, you know, his show is about music and about literature, and it can be a challenge. It can be a challenge to sort of get the word out, especially like Hungarian literature. It can only go as far as the language can be understood. So yeah, problematic.
Any other ratings?
I wish I had have tried the beer. Did you try local beer?
Yes.
In, oh, of course.
Twice, of course, of course I had to try. No, I had after the zoo when we had a lunch with the kids, I had a beer. Yeah, you know, I'm not fussy. Good beer.
Good beer.
That was Mr. and Mrs. K for today.
Thank you for listening to Mr. and Mrs. K. This is Alex and Michelle. We love Budapest, by the way. And if you are looking for a family trip, you are in Europe, or if you're not, go to Budapest. You will have a blast.
Highly recommended. Highly recommended. And if you've already been to Budapest, yeah, send us your favorite spot. Maybe on our Facebook page, Mr. and Mrs. K.
Have a good weekend.
And so long.
My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest. Golden grand piano, my beauty focused EOU. Ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. My acres of a land I've achieved. It may be hard for you to stop and believe, but for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you owe me, then all of this will go away. My many artifacts, the list goes on. If you just say the words, I'll up and run. Oh, to you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Oh, to you, ooh, ooh, I'd leave it all. Never make a change. Baby, if you owe me, then all of this will go away. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Family, they don't understand. They fear they'll lose so much if you take my hand. But for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd lose it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, I'd lose it all. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. My hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beautiful Castillo. You, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all.